Test, test. Test. I don't have. Good morning, Sandusky. On this rainy day, we still have a few out in the parking lot. Thank you for joining us. And this morning, we have a guest with us, Miss Erin Campbell Hendricks, now married to her husband, Nolan. It's good to have you, and she's going to bring the message this morning. A few announcements that we want to lift up is we are still doing parking lot ministry through the month of August. At the end of August, our church council will look at this and see about when we will be coming in, and some of it's going to depend on our bishop and our governor. We also have t-shirts that are available with our name and logo on it. If you have ordered a t-shirt, please let me know. If you have not paid for your shirt, please send that check to the church. This morning, we have a couple birthdays. Sarah Ridley and Gary Benicki, happy birthday. This week, we have no anniversaries, but let's hear Tina play Happy Birthday. Happy birthday. And now we want to go to our prayers. We have Dorothy Wood. We pray for her and her family, praying for comfort for her as she is passing away. And we pray for strength for their family as they endure this time. We continue to lift up Greg Moore and pray for him and his family, for Riley Podgorski and her family, and many others that we have lifted up, and God knows who they are, and we need to continue to lift them to our Lord. I'm going to have us just quiet our hearts and minds this morning for just a second, and wondered if Tina could just play maybe just a line or two as we quiet our hearts. And since we're inside, I'm going to light the candles. This morning, our praise song is Mighty to Save. God is so mighty, isn't he? Mighty to save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall. Mighty to save. He is mighty.
God did conquer the grave through Jesus Christ. And so our call to worship this morning, thankful for God's presence with us, knowing that God loves us and cares for us, believing in the power of prayer, and anticipating that we will be strengthened for the challenge of the week ahead. Let us worship the Lord our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come and worship you, whether it's in a building, whether it's in a car, whether it's at home. We're here to praise your name. We ask, Lord, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, setting our hearts on fire for you, that we can go and do the work that you have called us to do. Open our eyes and our ears, our hearts, our minds, our soul, our whole being, that we may hear. In the name of the risen Christ, amen. Next song is My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away.
Not on the air. All right, we have a children's message now. And so I have little Claire here with me. So Claire, I saw Claire dancing this morning to Mighty to Save. She was so cute. That was great, Claire. And I think I'm embarrassing her now. You don't need to be embarrassed. It was good because you were praising God. So, Claire, There's a woman, and you probably have not heard of her before, but I bet Mom has. Fanny Crosby. Maybe Mom hasn't either. Long time ago. Fanny was a hymn writer. Okay, so she wrote hymns, and she was a poet. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. 8,000, that's a lot. I think that's a whole lot more than our hymnal, like maybe 10 of our hymnals. I don't know, a lot of them. And I looked through a hymnal once this morning, and I saw that 17 hymns in our hymnal were written by Fanny Crosby. She wrote things like, "Tell me the story of Jesus, to God be the glory, I am thine, O Lord, Jesus keep me near the cross, all the way my Savior leads me," and a lot more. She even wrote these words, and it goes to a tune, but I don't know the tune, so I'm just going to read the words. Never give up, never give up, never give up to thy sorrows. Jesus will bid them depart. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Sing when your trials are greatest. Trust in the Lord and take heart. See, I want you to know that Fanny Crosby wrote all those songs, all those hymns, 8,000. And do you know what, Claire? She was blind. She could not even see. How do you write hymns when you can't see? But you know what she said? Blindness cannot keep the sunlight of hope from the trusting soul. She had great faith and said, never give up. Now, I know I embarrassed you a little bit when you're dancing, but you know what? Never give up. You just dance your heart out to the Lord and you play really hard. Never give up. And you know what? I don't think Mom never gives up on practicing on the piano. She's always working harder and harder and harder to play better and better and better. So none of us, no matter what we're doing, need to give up, right? So if you're doing something this week, what are you going to tell yourself if you get frustrated? Never give up. Can you do that? Mom will remind you, never give up, right? And for those of you that are home and listening, something is really difficult for you. Think about Fanny Crosby writing 8,000 hymns when she was blind. And that's amazing. She never gave up. And Jesus doesn't want us to give up either, okay? So as you go through the week, let's never give up on what we're doing. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for our children. Maybe they didn't know Fanny. Maybe moms and dads don't know Fanny. But Fanny was somebody special. And even with blindness, she did your work, Lord, and sang and wrote your songs. May we honor you as we sing your songs and we praise your name in the name of Christ. Amen. Thanks, Claire, for joining me. I'm glad to have you here. All right, this morning an Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 133. Psalm 133 is short, it's only three verses. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. May God add his blessing upon the reading of this word. And our next song is, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my heart, in my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
So now is a great time to go to our Lord in prayer. And this week, we are praying for Keys Radio. We always want to keep somebody in the community in our prayers. And also, I have Aaron and Nolan here, and they are just getting back from Ohio, and they're going to go to California because Nolan's going to go to school. And so I am just so pleased to have both of you here, but I want to pray over you and for you as you take this next step in your journey. So Aaron's up here already, but I'm going to invite Nolan to come up for just a second. And I have something for the two of you. These were made by people here at the church. It's a little prayer shawl for your pocket. And this is what it says. We've made this little piece of prayer shawl to keep you company while you were waiting during this difficult, sad, lonely, stressful, happy, whatever. This small piece will remind you of God's love for you and that there are many people who care about you and are praying for you. So may God's strength lift and uphold you from Sandusky First United Methodist Church. So
thank you.
You can stick it in your pocket or in your purse or whatever. Yeah. Nolan, I know you don't carry a purse, so you can put it in your pocket. Okay. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I give you Aaron and Nolan as they go to California on this next leg of their journey. I pray that you put a hedge of protection around them, that you continue to love them and care for them and protect them, keep them healthy and strong, and encourage them as they, as Nolan especially does studies, that he can focus, and as Aaron seeks out work, we just pray, Lord, that you bathe them with your peace, with your love, and your comfort. And Lord, we just thank you for this lovely couple. In the name of Christ, amen. And as we pray for others in our church, Lord, we ask that you bathe them, to heal them, to bring peace and comfort when that is needed. Especially thinking of Dorothy as she is passing from this world to the next, that you be with her and her family. We pray for little ones that are continuously having to have tests and getting scared of doctors. We just pray, Lord, that you can help them and encourage them. Give the doctors the wisdom and discernment to finally make diagnosis that can clear up whatever is going on in their body. We pray, Lord, that you can continue to fill us with your spirit, that we can work in and through you for the ministries of this church and this community and throughout the world, that your name is known, and that as Erin will share her testimony, that we can be a testimony here in our community, and to praise your name and to worship you in the name of Christ, who taught us together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to share a gospel reading with you this morning. It comes out of Matthew 15, 10 to 28, and then I get to turn it over to Aaron. These words from Matthew. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And he replied, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. And Peter said, like Peter, explain the parable to us. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder and adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. And then leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Well, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And his daughter was healed at that moment. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now as I turn this over to Aaron, Aaron went to a place that probably wasn't acceptable at one time or another, even to talk about Jesus, and maybe still isn't today. But she's going to tell us stories of how Jesus works, even in the lives of those who, at first, in the first centuries, way, way back, would have said, "No, we can't teach them." And now you are. So Aaron, we welcome you and we thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Sue. As Pastor Sue said, my name's Aaron, but Aaron Hendricks now. So if you're confused by the bulletin, it's just me, Aaron Campbell, but in disguise as a wife, I guess. And this year I had the privilege of doing campus ministry in the Middle East. And as a church, you all supported me financially to help me get there, but then prayed fervently for me while I was there. So I can't thank you enough. And it feels crazy that it's already been a year and I'm here talking about it. I've actually been in the States since March. My parents asked me to come home when COVID craziness began, and the Lord told me to respect them and to honor them and to do that. So, I've been hiding out here since March and ended up getting married, and now I'm here and have been doing ministry virtually. Thank God for technology. We've been able to continue our ministry online as much as we can in these last couple of months. So that's been really cool to see. But I want to start to talk with talking about what a normal week looked like while we were actually in country. Most mornings we had team meetings. And so these meetings were held at our team leader's apartment a few metro stops away. We weren't in the middle of the desert. We were actually in a city. So and we rode the metro to her apartment. And at these meetings, we would update each other on the students that we had met that week. And we would pray over those students and our ministry and each other. And, plan events, just fellowship with one another as we were. The only, believers and Americans, really, that and we all had in each other's lives this year. So after these meetings, after our morning time, we would pair up and go out to campus to meet new students. So in order to get on these campuses, we actually had to be students ourselves. So I actually went back to school this year. And we used this exchange student-like status to get into a lot of conversations. The people in this country are very hospitable, so they will jump at the chance to help a foreigner who says they need help or they have questions about their culture or what have you. And so most of my conversations just simply started with, "Hi, I'm an exchange student, and I have this project where I have to ask you questions about your culture. Can you help me?" And as soon as they heard, I'm an exchange student and I need help, it was like, yes, sit down, let's talk. And so this led to, 3-hour-long conversations over tea about culture and life and their purpose. And so some of these conversations really didn't go anywhere. But a few of these conversations led to friendships with girls who I still keep in touch with today. And at the end of these long days of meeting people and drinking lots and lots of tea, my teammates and I would get together and eat dinner, play board games, and just fellowship with one another. My teammates and I weren't just coworkers in ministry this year. We were each other's roommates and neighbors, friends, and even family. We really did need each other. We need each other as the body of Christ to just survive this year. And at the beginning of the year, my teammates and I were kind of feeling good. We were meeting lots of new students and attempting to learn the language and sharing the gospel with friends we had made. We were sowing seeds like crazy, but we just weren't seeing much fruit. The soil is really hard there. And so, this was discouraging and even frustrating at times. I would pray for opportunities to tell my friends about Jesus and how he changes everything. And then when the opportunity would arise, something just wouldn't click. Their hearts, are unfortunately so hardened that it takes a lot of time to talk with people and to even help them wrap their minds around the idea of a savior and who Jesus is, and that Christianity isn't just something that Americans do, and that Christianity actually began where they live now. And so it was hard. Their hearts were hardened, and my heart was breaking for them even more. All of our hearts were. And so we weren't seeing much fruit, and we just kept kind of going through the motions and trusting that the Lord would do something with our simple conversations and interactions with people. And a few months of meeting new people every day and, again, drinking a lot more tea and sowing seeds and feeling like we weren't seeing fruit, God moved in a really, really miraculous way. So if you've received any of my update letters this year, you've probably heard about my friend Gabe a few times. And Gabe came into all of our lives around Thanksgiving. We had a Thanksgiving party, and I think that's where I met him for the first time. And his story is one that I will never forget. His story makes me in awe of our Father. So this morning, I'd like to share that story with you. To begin, I'd like to read Philippians 3, 8 through 12. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Yeah, this truth has been so beautifully expressed in the life of my friend Gabe. Every night for 1 month, Gabe had been having nightmares filled with deep, deep darkness. Then, the night before he met my team at a picnic we'd hosted, he had the same dream. Only this time, at the end of his dream, he saw Jesus. And with his presence, a bright light filled every corner of the room in which he stood. Soon after meeting my team, Gabe decided to turn from his sin and trust in Jesus as his Savior. Jesus became his treasure. As the disciples left their nets to follow Jesus, Gabe left his old life and almost immediately began saturating himself in our local church, in community, and in the Bible. It was wild when Gabe told us about these things. It was so casual to him of, I dreamt of Jesus last night. And we're all sitting here like, this actually happens. Like, we didn't know this actually happened, and it does. And, you know, he would come up to us and, I accepted Jesus yesterday. And this is something that we had been praying for months, for people that we knew to come to Christ. And like, it really was the Lord. It wasn't anything that we were doing. It was just prayer and trust in the Lord and God meeting Gabe in his dreams. And Gabe now fearlessly shares the gospel with just about anyone. And like Pastor Sue said before, the country we were in, that is not something that you can do like you can do here. We didn't even say the word gospel or missionary. It's still hard for me to say sometimes. Yeah, but as a local, Gabe has even so much more freedom. It's less weird to see, two locals talking to each other than it is for, you know, an American talking with a local, and just a lot less suspicions, but, no less suffering or, hardship in his life for doing this. But he does, he fearlessly shares the gospel with so many people in his life and people he doesn't know. Last week while visiting home, one week while visiting home, he told his family, who are Muslims, that he had decided to follow Jesus and had become a Christian. And in that conversation, he actually shared the gospel with them. And his friend who was living abroad heard this, and told Gabe that if he were home, he would kill him for following Jesus. And so it's like there's persecution like we can't even imagine. In December, Gabe told my teammate Ryan that he had read Nabil Qureshi's autobiography, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, and that he decided to begin translating it so that his friends who don't speak English could read it as well. In this same conversation, Gabe told one of my teammates, Nathan, that doctors discovered a tumor in his skull. "But I am okay," Gabe said. "When people ask how I am doing, I tell them I am okay, because Jesus was okay when he knew he was going to die. He was at the Last Supper, enjoying time with his disciples, yet talking about his near death." In a later conversation about Ephesians, I think they were talking about, Gabe told Ryan and Nathan, quote, "Love Jesus. That is all that really matters. You can know the Bible perfectly, go to church every day, help thousands of people, but if you don't love Jesus, that stuff means nothing." Though the world has been in a pandemic, Gabe's faith has not faltered. He still keeps in touch with Ryan and Nathan and loves the Lord more and more every day. Recently, he finished his translation of the book Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, which is just wild to me in general. And he finished it and he sent it to a friend of his who is actually living here in the U.S. And his friend ended up calling Gabe and telling him, you know, "I have a lot of questions about Christian theology. I want to talk to you." And Gabe didn't feel like he could talk much about theology, so he decided to connect him with someone else. But later that day on the metro, Gabe heard God audibly tell him that he was equipped to talk with his friend about these things. So Gabe called his friend and they talked for hours. At the end of this call, his friend received Christ. And just, yeah, as a reminder, he literally, Gabe came to faith in November, December. And he's been attending a church where he and some others have been taught how to share their faith. He was sharing his faith before he was taught. but he has now been taught at this church. And one day they went out together to try and have conversations with people. And they ended up talking to 15 people. And out of these people, 6 of them received Christ. Which, when you think about the number of believers in this country, is mind-blowing. my team as a whole, we saw Gabe come to Christ this year and maybe one other student. And that was a year of us working every day in new conversations. And I think it just shows, like, the Lord wants to use. He doesn't want, you know, all of us to have to go to these different countries and just keep doing this the rest of our lives. He wants local people in these places to come to know the Lord and work through them, because he can work through them just in even more massive ways than he can us. And we just can't relate the same. This spring, Gabe endured some radiation for the tumor that I mentioned, and it helped reduce the size of his tumor, but it didn't give him a clean bill of health. But as Gabe walks through life with his own family and body against him, he isn't crushed. On the contrary, Gabe walks with confidence, not in man nor in his flesh, but in his Savior, Jesus. And as he walks, God strengthens his soul and equips him to do the good work that he has set before him. God audibly speaks to him and uses him in his friend's life and his family's lives. Gabe counts everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. the work of God in Gabe's life challenges and convicts me. When I think of Gabe, I find myself wondering, what in my life should I be counting as loss? Or in other words, what should I be throwing away as if it's garbage in order to experience the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus more? As Gabe told my teammates, love Jesus. That is all that really matters. You can know the Bible perfectly, go to church every day, help thousands of people. But if you don't love Jesus, that stuff means nothing. Yeah, you can move to a country in the Middle East and you can talk to people every single day and try to have conversations. You can read the Bible. You can do all these things. You can help out at church. But if you don't truly love and know Jesus, that stuff means nothing. And I think Gabe's life has just been a true example of this to me and to so many others. You know, when you read in the Bible about the disciples being called and they immediately drop their nets to follow Jesus. And yeah, we can look at our lives here and say, well, yeah, I think I did something like that. But when you look at someone like Gabe who immediately like turned from his sin and trusted in Jesus and went out, you know, telling others, you know, if we say, you know, it's not safe maybe to talk about that. No, like he doesn't care. He's going to tell everyone about Jesus. And yeah, just leave a legacy of God's kingdom coming to earth like no other. So I think that's really challenging to me. And I want to challenge all of us with that this morning. Like what in our lives are we not, you know, are we not counting as loss or are willing to throw away like garbage in order to experience the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus more? Because that's what the Bible says. It's the surpassing worth. It's not just, you know, thinking about Jesus sometimes or, sometimes bringing up Jesus in a conversation. It's like living every day of what am I doing that's hindering me from knowing the Lord and knowing Jesus more deeply. And I need that too. Believe it or not, being a missionary for 1 year did not make me perfectly holy or sanctified. It was just the start. And I have a lot of garbage in my life that I still need to throw away. And so I just want to challenge myself with this, but also all of us, of what can we do? Like, how can we, in any way we can, you know, experience more of Jesus, the surpassing worth of knowing him? Yeah, will you all pray with me? Yeah, Jesus, you are amazing. And Lord Jesus, there's a reason that your disciples, when they saw you, when they heard your voice, they immediately dropped their nets and left everything and followed you. And Lord, it feels like crazy that they would do that. It seems insane that they would do that. But then we see this happening in other countries still today. Lord, we see people dropping everything, dropping the ties to their family, the ties to their country, to their friends, to follow you, Lord Jesus. So you must be worth it, Jesus. You must be worth it. And Lord, I just ask that you would show us how you are worth it, Jesus. Yeah, we know that you're awesome, that you're healer, that you're redeemer. We know these things, but would you just let these things that we know in our heads just drop to our hearts, Jesus? Would our hearts just be so in awe of you that we drop our nets and we immediately just follow you? That we hear your voice and we do what you say. We don't doubt you, Father God. That we wouldn't doubt that you are as powerful and miraculous as your word says you are, as things that you're doing in people's lives around us say that you are, Lord. There's so many reasons to praise you, Jesus, and we get so caught up in the garbage instead. So would you help us to just clean out our lives, Lord, to throw away the garbage, to throw away anything that is hindering us from running this race and knowing you more, Jesus. yeah, we just confess that every single day, and we get caught up in garbage, whether it's being stressed about a job or housing or, yeah, even this virus, Lord, we get so caught up in just the tangible things of this world, and we confess that, Jesus. And, Lord, we just want to see those things as unworthy. We want to see you as the most worthy, and we want to have that clear perspective, Jesus. So, yeah, would you just reveal to us the gunk in our lives? Reveal to us what we can get rid of to know you more, Jesus. Yeah, we are privileged. In this country, we don't have to drop our ties with family. For the most part, we don't have to drop our ties with friends or with what have you, Lord, to follow you, Jesus. We are privileged to follow you in this country of freedom. And so we thank you for that. Would you just give us hearts, Lord, that love you so deeply that we would still count everything else as lost, Jesus? Yeah, we want to know you more. All of your promises, God, they're yes in Jesus. And so would you just, yeah, stamp your yes on this of giving us hearts that know you more. Yeah, we truly desire that, Father. We want to know Jesus because that's all that matters. Like Gabe said, that is all that matters. Yeah, we thank you for Gabe, and we pray for him, Lord, that you would heal him completely. Thank you for healing him spiritually, Lord, for bringing him from death to life in Jesus' name. And thank you for, yeah, just allowing me to share his story this morning. It really just is an honor, Lord, to tell of what you're doing in the lives of people in other nations. Yeah, where the word missionary and gospel and all these things are off limits to us. But you're still moving. Because, God, you don't depend on that. You don't depend on the rules of a nation, Lord. You are Lord over all, and you are moving in these closed places. And we just want to know you more, Jesus. We want to worship you more, Lord. And, yeah, thank you for this morning and just the opportunity to be here and to share what you did this year because of the faithfulness of this church and everyone who has prayed for me and sent me to go, Lord. Yeah, we are all a part of Gabe's story through prayer, through whatever means. We are a part of Gabe's story, even if we've never left the country, Lord. We thank you for that. Yeah, I just ask that you would bless the rest of today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Aaron, that was excellent. It was good to hear about Gabe and his story and your ministry overseas. Just a question or two.
Yeah.
It was pretty scary going over to a country that was Muslim, mm-hmm. and being, quote, an exchange student.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for people here? Because people here are scared to say what you're saying.
Yeah.
What words of wisdom would you give to people here to be able to share Jesus Christ? Because you and I both know there's a lot of people here that don't know Christ.
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
Yeah, I think something I've just gained as perspective from this year is like the freedom and the privilege we have in this country to proclaim Jesus's name. And I mean, I think there are still ways to do it right. Like, you know, you don't need to go up to everyone and be like, let me tell you about Jesus. Like, we want to care about people personally and deeply and know them personally. And I really think that's where it starts, is as a church, like taking ourselves out from the church walls, and we want to care about each other as a church, but going out and, you know, like the people that we work with, the people that we interact with daily at the grocery store or whatever. I know it's a weird time right now with COVID, but just caring about people. I think that just caring deeply, you don't need to know someone's language to care deeply about them. And so to translate that here, like, you don't need to know anything about somebody. You don't need to know their background or anything about their job or their family to care deeply about them. And I think that's what Jesus did. He knew people deeply. And through that, like, people want to know about the hope that we have in Christ. People need hope. This world is a dark place, and I think that's so evident in, you know, it's hard not to see that most days. And so just, you know, wearing that hope by spending time with Jesus, you know, and sharing the hope we have, because people need hope. And they're going to open up. I really thank God. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. It's nothing we do, you know. So.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
And what I heard you say, too, you were having 3-hour conversations. So it's not just something in the going through the grocery line that we go, oh, we want you to know Christ, because it's not going to happen in that moment.
Right, right.
That's that part of caring is that, hey, let's go out and have a soda, or let's go have a cup of coffee or whatever and talk, or let's have pizza, whatever.
Right.
Because we all like to eat here, especially, you know.
Yeah.
And so going out and just getting to know them is caring.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, when you think of, like, you know, missionary or all these things, it's like a lot of people have this bad perspective of, like, their only goal is to, like, sit you down and share the gospel with you. And it's like, I truly believe as believers, our goal should be, like, to know someone and to love them, and, like, with the hope of sharing the gospel with them. And, like, that's the most important thing, clearly. But, you know, like, having conversations and, yeah, just... people want to feel cared for, and with Christ, like, we have the capacity to care for so many people in such deep ways that we don't even understand, because it's the Holy Spirit in us. And that is evident to people that we talk to. And yeah, it could be 3 hours, it could be 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah,
our country moves a lot quicker,
so
you don't necessarily get coffee for 3 hours with a friend every day like they do there, but yeah.
I appreciate you sharing, and you said one word that I just want to continue to pass on. We do have hope.
Yeah.
We have hope in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we're going to turn and collect our offering, and Tina's going to play our offertory. Our doxology.
Thank you.
Father God, we ask that you give a blessing upon these gifts, that they may be used to make a difference in the world, to bring Jesus Christ to others, and to not just in our community, but throughout the world, that we may follow you and follow you immediately. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Our closing song, My Hope Is Built.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Go forth from here. Let us remember that on Christ we are standing on solid ground. We don't need to fear sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he is with us. It is he that does the work in and through us. He's just asking us to be his hands and feet. So go now forth from here with his peace and his love, and share that with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.